Memories of Schmidt Family Christmases Past. Last week, my wife and I, along with two friends, Steve and Linda, saw the play The Lost Clause at the B Street Theater in Midtown Sacramento. It was a delightful comedy about Santa, who is progressively being slowed down by the weight of living nearly 2,000 years, and his elves, who are becoming increasingly exasperated by the burden of having to make more and more Christmas presents each year. A couple days later, while on my morning walk, I thought about the play, and those thoughts hearkened me back to fond memories of the Christmases of my youth growing up in North Central Wisconsin. Here are a few of those memories. The joy of the Christmas season for our Schmidt family back in the 1950s and 60s had very little connection with the insidious spell commercialism casts upon people today. Events like Black Friday, Shop Till You Drop, were frenzies of Christmases to come. Mom and Dad, having an abundance of kids but a dearth of money, were obligated to make our Christmas presents few and almost always practical. I usually received some badly needed clothing and one special gift like a pair of ice skates, a fishing pole, or one year, a Daisy pellet rifle. No, indeed, receiving presents, although always appreciated, was not the highlight of our Christmas season. The joy of Christmas for us was much deeper and meaningful than any presents could possibly produce. Our joy came through the Yuletide family traditions. The season began on Christmas Eve morning with a special tradition in my family called the Christmas Tree Hunt. Our dear friends, the Gibbs, lived on a 200-acre dairy farm just outside our small town of Schofield, and much of their property was forested and full of balsam firs, the Christmas tree of choice for most people living in the area. At around the age of 10, I joined my dad and my two older brothers on the tree hunt. We would drive out to the farm and plod through the knee-deep snow, one of our Flying Arrow snow sleds in tow, an axe and saw in hand, into the woods looking for the perfect tree. We often brought Dad's .22 rifle along just in case we came across the rabbit, but I don't remember ever shooting one on our Christmas tree hunts. It didn't really matter to us boys, for like Christmas itself, the anticipation of what was to come or what might come was more exhilarating than the actual coming. It usually didn't take long to locate the best Christmas tree ever, and we cut it down, tie it to the sled, and head back to our rusty old station wagon. Once home, Dad would place the freshly cut tree in the tiny nook of our tiny living room in our very tiny home. And the sweet scented fir would stand there naked until Christmas Eve night, the zenith of the Schmidt Yuletide season. Snow and football were always integral parts of our Christmas Eve tradition. As soon as the sun set around 4:30 in northern Wisconsin, the neighbor boys would gather in our front yard for a game of football. Teams were chosen, and our yearly game of Christmas Eve snow tackle football, as we called it, would begin. Playing football in 2 feet of snow was an absolute hoot. The only light available, unless a full moon happened to bless us with its presence, was one very dimly lit streetlight. Hence, there was lots of scoring because the defense never knew who had the football once a play began. Everyone on offense got tackled, but no one ever got hurt. How could you, falling into that thick, soft snow? But everyone got very wet and cold. Around 6, my mother would call all the tired, wet athletes into the house for a Christmas snack. Then the neighbor boys would head home, and our family would prepare for the tree trimming. Dad would begin by placing the colorful lights on the tree. Then each of us kids would strategically place the ornaments on the shining tree, the smaller ones on the upper branches, the larger ones on the middle and lower branches. Finally, to complete the Yuletide masterpiece, my mother and sister would add strands of silver tinsel over each branch. The trimming complete, it was celebration time. Like most of what occurred on Christmas Eve, the food and drinks were a once-a-year delight. Mother would bring out pickled herring, cream cheese dip and crackers, shrimp cocktail, all sorts of homemade Christmas cookies, popcorn balls, and my favorite, puff rice balls. To add her special touch to our Christmas Eve gala, Mother would serve her secret homemade whiskey sour concoction. This was the only time during the year when we Schmidt kids were allowed to drink alcohol, beer being the one exception, since just about everyone in the area was descended from German and Polish immigrants, and Pilsner was considered a staple food for people of all ages. Mom would stress to us that our limit was one glass. So we'd each grab a plate of goodies and our glass of whiskey sour and continue admiring our decorated masterpiece. Now, do not think for a moment that we Schmidt kids abided by Mother's one-glass mandate. Never. For invariably, in the spirit of Christmas Eve, Mother, never adhering to the one-glass rule herself, would imbibe glass upon glass, become more and more jovial and talkative, but eventually fall asleep on the living room recliner. It was then that we older Schmidt kids would help ourselves to a second and sometimes even a third glass. Dad always knew what was up, but he lived by his personal maxim, what's the harm? And would pretend not to notice and go down to the basement to do his woodworking. To be sure, Christmas did not end with Mom asleep on the recliner and Dad working in the basement, for there were still events to come. Midnight Mass, the arrival of Santa during the night, and a scrumptious feast on Christmas Day. Mom and Dad passed away some years ago, and the only home I knew as a kid was eventually sold. But the pleasurable Christmas memories, especially the events revolving around the Christmas Eve of my youth, seem as real to me today as they were more than 60 years ago when they occurred. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you all. And thanks for listening to this edition of You Gotta Be Schmittin' Me.